Praise the Lord in the house. Amen. How many blessed folks we got here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give a big shout out and a welcome to Word of Hope tonight for coming and being here and fellowshipping with us. Amen. And we're borrowing their pastor tonight. He's going to be bringing the word, so we're looking forward to hearing from Brother Jason. But let's just worship the Lord. Amen. There's an old song that we used to sing a lot, a whole lot. It's glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. How many has ever been touched while they were singing, praying, preaching, whatever it was? We're glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. We're glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Well, while I was singing, somebody touched me. While I was singing, somebody touched me. While I was singing, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. Sing glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Though it was the hand of the Lord. Well, while I was praying, somebody touched me. And while I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. It was the hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me.
Come on, church.
Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. It was the hand of the Lord. While I was preaching, somebody touched me. While I was preaching, somebody touched me. While I was preaching, somebody touched me. Though it was the hand of the Lord.
Say it, church, come on.
Glory, 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 glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. It was the hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
It was the hand of the Lord. I know it was the hand of the Lord.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. As we go to the Lord in prayer, while you remain standing, does anyone in the congregation have a spoken request, unspoken request? Just lift your hand to the Lord. God knows and sees every need tonight. He sees your heart. He certainly sees that hand. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come tonight to love you, to thank you, to exalt your name. Father, I pray your spirit and your anointing will fall upon this congregation. Father, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. God, that we may be in one mind and one accord. God, I pray for every part of this service, every song sung, every word spoken. God, be with the minister tonight as he stands to bring the word. God, just pour out from your abundant blessings upon the church tonight. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are suffering, many are afflicted. Praying, God, that you would touch them with your healing virtue. God, heal and make them whole. Father, those who are lost and undone tonight, Father, stir their hearts. God, convict their soul. Bring them to an altar of repentance. Father, we ask these blessings in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, turn and tell somebody, I sure am glad to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you love one another because we're going to all be together in heaven. Amen. Let's turn to page number 393. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You love each and every one of you. Just good to see you. Hope that you come to worship the Lord. I pray, God, that you'll feel the liberty here tonight to worship and praise the Lord. We might receive our offering tonight as we ask our ushers if they would come forward tonight and get right on with some special singing. Looking forward to what God has in store for us tonight. Amen. Brother Thomas, thank you. great thou art. Surely the Lord is great. Sister Tabitha, come arrange a number for us tonight. And after that, Sister Jennifer. And Sister Jennifer, Brother Keith, ever how y'all want.
Greg, I'm going to change that to what Mercy did. Jason Crabb just came out with a new song. It's called Good Morning Mercy. And I follow him on Facebook, so he'll come on there and promote his new song and all that. But sometimes I find myself when I wake up, I'll say, Good Morning Mercy. I'm thankful for another day of God's mercy. And I know Brother Keith loves to hear me sing this. I was sitting there thinking, I need to sing this song tonight.
Amen.
So y'all worship with me.
Thankful for mercy. Amen. If it wasn't for mercy, I wouldn't be here today. Amen. Brother Keith, Sister Jennifer.
I
just want to say I praise the Lord tonight, because there is and has been a miracle in the making for me many, many times. Now just worship as we sing. There's a miracle in the making. The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him, 'cause this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Oh, and right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. And have you prayed and prayed? Still you've heard no answer. And has your faith grown weak? You feel you're all alone. Don't give up, for the God you serve today.
I need all believers. You can keep singing. Help me pray for a miracle of healing. You know, the Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We need the power of God to move on Sister Connie's situation. Without going into great detail, she can't exist, she can't live unless something is done. That's how serious it is. But God is able. God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So we need every believer in the house tonight to join with me as we anoint Sister Connie in prayer for a miracle. For a miracle. One just for you. That God is working tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we
want there's a miracle in the making. The Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today.
Sister Connie, we're expecting a good report. I want you to call me. Let me know when you're able to drink a little or get some food to go down. Amen. God is so great. There was a mighty presence of God, healing presence here. Amen. And I just hold on. Hold on to that belief and have faith in God. Well, it's good to have Word of Hope with us tonight. It's good to have Brother Jason. He's a wonderful friend, a wonderful pastor, great man of God. And this, I thought, maybe is a little prelude to the multi-church service that we're going to be having later on this month. Is that right? At the end of September 22nd. Is it 25th. Thank you for helping. Y'all can come on the 22nd too. We'll get prepared. But it'll be on the 25th. So we're looking forward to that. And we're just going to go ahead and turn the service over to Brother Jason. And if he wants to sing, or Sister Pam, or whatever they want to do, but come and minister to us. Help take your liberty in the Lord. Brother Jason, come at this time. We love you, brother. Praise God. Can you be one of those people? Is that one different? This one may be a little louder.
Trust me. I will tell you this, you do not want me to sing. Not at all. Amen. I think they had some songs prepared, but I asked her, and she said that she didn't feel it was appropriate right now with what God's doing in the house. Amen. If that's all right, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
All right. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm so glad to be here and wrestled around with two or three different things. If I could have the liberty tonight just to take my time and obey the Lord and just share my heart, is that okay? Amen. I believe I know why now that God has given me what he's given me. And I just thank God for that. Number one, let me say that thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. Amen. And I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having us and being here. And the 25th, we will have a fellowship service. And I believe God's going to move there. I haven't got all the details tallied out yet, but I'll have them. And we'll be ready to roll by the 25th. Amen. If I could just share my heart for tonight, and I believe God's got a purpose for this. It's been several months ago, maybe close to a year ago, I was at the church. I work, so every Saturday is my, during the night, most of the pastors, you'll know, understand what I'm saying. When you work and you come home, you study, you get a little bit here on Friday, Saturday. But Saturday night is my night. I spend most of my day at the church on Saturday compiling it all together, getting it all together, and praying that that's what God wants me to do. And if it's not, he can change it. Amen. But one Saturday, almost a year ago, I was at the church, and I'm walking around the sanctuary praying, and I'm just praying about a situation, and I'm praying about something, and my wife gives me a call. Now, let me put this in here. I believe in dreams and visions, but I'm not a freak about it. I'm not one that has one every night. I'm not one that eats Mexican food, goes home, has a weird dream, and believes it's God telling me something. And my wife's not either. But she called me, and she said, if I could move this, I just don't want it to be wind up down there. And she said, I just got to tell you what a dream that I had. And she had a dream. She shared it with me. And it stirred my heart because that was exactly what I was praying at that moment. And I began to walk around the sanctuary. And I began to pray. And I began to seek the Lord. And I began to cry out to God. And tears rolled down my face. And I began to tell God, I said, this is an impossible situation. That's exactly what it was that we were praying about, and I was praying about, and what she had dreamed about. And I said, God, it's an impossible situation. I need to hear from you what to do. I need direction from you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You need direction from the Lord. God, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know to turn to the right or to the left. I need direction from the Lord. And I'm praying that, and I'm walking around that sanctuary, and I go out of the sanctuary into the little hallway, and I'm walking down through there, and by this time, I'm in tears, and I'm sobbing before the Lord. I'm like, God, it's impossible. This situation's impossible, and that's what I'm speaking to the Lord. And as I'm going downstairs to where my office is, I can just remember my hand going down the wall and saying, God, we need a move. I need a move. And when I stepped my last step in that basement, I said, God, I need to hear a word. I need a word, God. I need a word from you. And I don't know about you. I reverence the Lord. I respect the Lord. But I was playing with the Lord. I said, God, I don't need a vague word. I don't need a maybe word. I don't need a word that I got to call four people and get some kind of a confirmation with. I need a word that will settle my spirit, that will reach inside my heart and my mind and give me confirmation. I need a word. And that day I felt the Spirit just tug at my heart to do something I had never done before in my life, and up until that point, and from that point to now, I've never done it again. And I walked into my office, and when I walk into my office, right there at the right hand of my office door is a bookshelf with commentaries and several different Bibles. And I reached in and I grabbed a Bible, And I felt this unction just to take that Bible, and there's a table inside my office, and I laid it on that table, and I closed my eyes. Something I had never done. I've heard preachers do it. I heard people do it and testify about it. But I felt like that's what God was telling me to do. And I opened that Bible, and when my eyes closed, I don't know what book it was. I don't know what chapter it was, and I don't know what verse it was. And I took my finger and I laid it down on that Bible, on the page of that Bible. And before I opened my eyes, I said, God, remember, this is an impossible situation. We're in an impossible circumstance. We're in a predicament right now, and I need a word. I said, God, I need a word right now. And when I opened my eyes, I looked, and I was at the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. And if you don't know what that says, it says, for with God, nothing is impossible. I didn't have to call Brother Eddie and say, what do you think that meant? I didn't have to call somebody and say, what do you think God's saying? He gave me exactly what I was looking for. He gave me a word that morning that said, I don't know what situation you think is impossible, but let me remind you, I'm an almighty God, and nothing is impossible to me. I come to tell multiple people, but I come to tell somebody in particular, I don't know where you are, but no matter what the doctors have said, no matter what the lawyers have said, no matter what your family has said, no matter what the preacher has said, I come to tell you, God said that thing is not impossible. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still almighty, and he's still able. Have I seen it come to pass? No. Has I seen all the fulfillment of it yet? No. But I got a word. I got a promise. I've got something that the Lord gave me that day that the devil can't take away. Amen. I got something in my spirit, in my heart that day that tells me that God is able no matter what the situation looks like. I got something in my spirit that says no matter what everybody else has said and what the terminology of it is, God is not impossible. Amen. With God, it's not impossible. I come to tell somebody, I don't know what you want. This is a 3-page sermon that come to me as I was getting ready with my suit on this evening. I'm telling you, God's got a word for somebody. It's not impossible. Amen. He is still able. And our impossible situations and our impossible circumstances are nothing more than a great stage for God to do his best work. The Lord steps in. We've wrote ourselves off, and we wrote the situations off, and we've wrote the circumstances off. The Lord steps in and says, there, I can work with that. I'm reminded of Gideon with 30,000 men who was excited about going to war, and God said, no, I can't work with that. Too many. Take it down to 10. Still too many. Tell you what, I'll give you 300. Can we negotiate, Lord? Here's your 300 men, some lamps, and some horns, and watch what I'll do. Here's something, Gideon, that you may not be able to work with, but I can work with this. Because if you work with the other, you're going to get the glory. But only I can get the glory when it's an impossible situation. Only I can get the glory when everybody else has wrote you off. Only I can get the glory when the doctor said you've got 6 months to live and it's terminal. But God moves in and says, I can give you more life. Then he moves. Amen. Oh, it's impossible. Maybe with you. But I know who it's not impossible with. Amen. I come to tell somebody that we have to believe again that the God that we serve is able to be possible in the impossible situation. That he's able to move when everybody says he can't move. And he's able to do when they say that can't be done. I come to ask somebody to believe again and to trust the Lord no matter what you're going through, that he is still God, amen, that he's still on the throne, and that you are going to receive the miracle and the power of God's going to move in your life, because it is not impossible with him. I come to tell somebody tonight that God is still God, amen. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. God is still God. I come to tell you to have belief and faith again. We've got to believe and have faith again that he is still able. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. What a statement. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If you can believe in your heart, if you can believe that I'm still God, if you can believe that I am the Almighty, if you can believe that I am the Lord, if you can believe that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, if you can believe that I am the great I am, if you can believe that he spread the sea and he brings down the mountains and he crashes the walls down, you can believe for whatever it is in your life that you need to believe for. Hebrews 11:1, we all know this one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. I haven't seen it yet. I've shared that. I haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet. I haven't seen the conclusion of it yet. If I'm honest, I haven't even seen the start of it yet. Anybody with me? You still praying them prayers for them to come home? They ain't come home. You still praying that prayer for them to turn around, and it ain't turned around. But I come to tell you, keep on praying. God's still moving.
Amen.
Keep your prayer life up. He says, my faith tells me that God is still able. My faith tells me God is possible in the most impossible situation. My faith tells me to keep trusting the Lord no matter what, because I believe that he is able. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe and you shall receive them. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask or pray for, believe and you shall have them. Are we really believing God anymore? Trusting in the Lord with all our heart. It's not impossible. I want to tell somebody, we've got to believe and have faith that he can do what he says he can do. And the other thing I want to tell you, hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. I might run an aisle. Do not give up on the promises of God. Now trust me, if I take off running, this is my fourth sermon this week. There's a couple of places I couldn't take off running. I know I can take off running down through here. There's going to be somebody join me, I know. But hold on to the promises of God. We hold on to so many things in our life, and we hold on to the doctor's report that says, look right here, it's bad, it's really bad. And I'm not diminishing what the doctor has given you, and I'm not diminishing what the lawyers have said, and I'm not diminishing what everybody else said, what the wife has said and the husband has said and the family has said. I'm not taking away from anything you're going through or anything that's happening in your life. But what I am here to tell you is, I don't care what they say. It's according to what he has already it said in his word. It's what he has established. It's what he has put in his word. That's what we stand on. We don't stand on the things of the world and the ways of the world. We stand on the standard and the statutes of an almighty God. And if he promised it, it will come to pass. You can take it to the bank that it will happen. So hold on to the promises of God. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised without wavering. He is faithful who has promised. He has told you. He has given you a word. He told me, he said, nothing's impossible to me. I spoke, I prayed, I asked, I made a petition before an almighty God. I need to hear what you say. And he gave me a specific word. Nothing is impossible with me. I don't have to waver in that. I know that the God that I serve has given me a promise, and I will see that promise come to pass. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. Yes and amen. Every promise. We can stand on the promises of God. We can stand on the Word of God. It is true and it is faithful. I might fail you. I was waiting for a big amen to come over here from this side. They're being nice tonight. I might do it intentionally. I may do it unintentionally. But man will fail you at some point in your life. And you've got to love them and forgive them and move on. Your wife may fail you. She may cook pasta when you want the fried chicken. I don't know what house she could fail you. Your husband may fail you at some point. Your children may disappoint you. But there's one who will never fail you. And there's one who will never disappoint. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him praise. Amen. And we need to believe and have faith that the God that we serve is true and faithful to His promises. And we need to hold on to those promises and hang on with everything we have and say, look at the devil. When the devil says, this ain't happened in your life and this hasn't come through and this didn't happen in your life, we can look him square in the eye and say, yep, not yet, but God has given me a word. God has given me a promise. And He is faithful to His promises. Philippians 1:16, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will see it to completion. The Lord will complete what He has begun to do in your life. We can know that the Lord will bring it to pass. And God will be faithful. Galatians 6:9 says, don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. If you do not give up. I remember years ago, and I know Brother Eddie knows my grandfather. My grandfather had a landscaping business, and he done new construction, go out and sow in yards and different things. And man, he'd get out there with those tractors and front end loaders and then plow up the yards. And as a young boy, he always made us, me and my brother, go to work with him. And I'd step out of the truck, and there was just like an endless yard of rocks. He wanted them all picked up. Now, as about a 12 or 13-year-old boy, the last thing I wanted to do was stand out in the hot summer sun picking up rocks, putting them in a wheelbarrow, and wheelbarrow them to the back of the yard somewhere. And I'd get out there, and I would just begin to look at all that I had to do, and I'd stop every once in a while and just glaze. And I'd hear over the tractor, wake up, boy. And I'd pick a rock up and throw it at him. And he told me something one time that didn't mean anything at 13, but it means something now at 40, none of your business old. Stop looking at what you got to do and do it. And once you get to doing it, it'll be done. Some of us are looking at what we got to do. And we're looking at our situation. And we're reading the situation and we're looking at how bad it is and how difficult it's going to be and how hard it's going to be. Just like I looked at those rocks and thought, man, this is going to take all day long to pick up all these rocks, Brother Rowdy. It's going to be a difficult situation instead of just getting into it. Can I tell you, we've got to stop looking at the situation and start looking at the God that's with us and get to doing what we know we need to do. Amen. Get busy about the Father's business. And watch Him come and bring everything to pass that needs to be brought to pass in our life. Keep going. Keep moving. Hold on to the promises of God. Keep working every day. The Bible tells us in John chapter 9, He said, work while it is day, because night comes when no man shall work. I come to tell you, we got to keep working for the Lord and believing that He's going to bring the promises as long as we're doing what He's called us to do. Keep moving. Keep plowing. Keep going. And know that it'll come to pass. And it might not be your time. And that's a hard thing for us to understand and grasp in our life. That God's timing is not our timing. Now, if I can be transparent tonight and be real with you, I am probably the most impatient person you'll ever meet. Don't look at me like that. I'm just trying to be real. If I go up to the drive-through window, I want it then. If I get mad enough, I'll ask them, do you have to kill the cow? What's going on? Let's get this thing going. But God's time is not like that. We want the microwave mentality time and get it to me real quick, real fast, real easy. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to wait. I don't want to do it. You know, I've gotten into a thing of baking cakes, man. I love baked cakes. Anybody, any other man in here like to bake cakes? I'm the only weird one. Okay, whatever. Fix that stuff up and mix it up, man. I'm telling you, put it in the oven. And then the whole time it's down there, Brother Anthony, I'm like this at the door. And I'll tell Pam, I said, how long does this stuff take? She'll say, if you'll walk away, it'll get done. Set a timer. The reality of it is when God gives us a word and God puts a promise in our hearts, we're constantly looking at the oven door and saying, how long is this going to take? God, has it been 15 minutes yet? Is it time for it? God, when's this thing going to come out of the oven? And when's this thing going to be ready to eat? And when's this thing going to be ready to go with? God, I've spent enough time bent down at the front of the oven. And God said, if you'll just go on and do something else, it'll take its time and it'll be ready when it's ready. Amen. Stop trying to be a little God and tell him what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. The timing will be right when it's God's timing. We just got to hold on and have some patience. And then when it comes, walk in. Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. He said, I open a door before you that no man can shut. When God opens those doors, it's time to move. How often in our lives we've been patient and we've waited and we've waited and we've waited and almost to a point of giving up, and then all of a sudden God opens the door and then we're hesitant about walking in and we look at it and say, well, God, is that really you? I can't believe you did that. But he told us nothing was impossible to him. But we're hesitant to move in and we're hesitant to walk in. I'm coming to tell somebody, when God opens the impossible door, don't hesitate, run in. Go get what God has for you to get. Isaiah 30 and 21, and your eyes or your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I want to stop right there for a second. Walk in it. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you and tells you that's the calling, that's the place, that's your miracle, I've got it ready, walk in it. And you said, whether it be the left hand or the right, walk in. Go and receive what God has for you. Can I give two side notes? I won't charge you any extra. When God opens a door, walk in. Some of you need to quit trying to kick in other ones. We're trying to kick down doors God never intended for us to walk in. We're trying to make things happen that God never intended for us to happen. We're trying to make ways that God said, I didn't make it that way. I don't want you to go that path. I don't want you to do that. We got to stop. We're sitting there like the SWAT team with a barricade. We're trying to knock down doors, and God said, I never intended for you to walk in that door. That's why it's shut. And then we blame God because he hasn't moved in our life. I come to tell you, stop trying to knock down doors God never intended you to walk in and walk through the ones that he's opened in your life. Because God could do something in your life. And sometimes, do you believe that God's impossible situations, that God moves, or your impossible situation God moves in, and your miracle may not look like you think it looks? Anybody with me? I look at some scriptures, and we'll get to that in a minute. Can I tell you a personal story? See, I've got a whole new group of people here that hasn't heard these, so I'm good. Amen. This is exciting to me. Me and my wife got married October 24th. Will be 24 years we've been married. We tried to have children. I may have shared some of this story before. I don't know, but if not, entertain me. Or if I have, entertain me. And we tried, and we went to specialists. And they finally said, she's got to have surgery. She's got a tumor the size of a grapefruit. This is going to be deadly. This is going to be bad. We accepted the fact that was what we had to do, so she wouldn't have the hysterectomy, took everything out. We began the process of adoption. We were living in Harrelson County, so we went to Harrelson County DFACS, and we began the process. And for month to month, we did fingerprints and background checks, and they checked our home to make sure that everything was where it needed to be and how it needs to be. And they come in two or three times. They lose our paperwork, and we'd have to go get fingerprinted. I've had more fingerprints than most criminals in jail, man. And they do our paperwork again. We're sitting there like this. We know this is the only option. Not only this is the only option. This must be the way that the Lord has for us. And we got so frustrated with the DFACS program that we were watching television, and I think they tell me that they're still there. Every Wednesday, I don't know what channel it is, but they have the Wednesday's Child. Anybody seen those? And we look, and nothing ever really hit our heart. Nothing ever really hit our mind. And we're praying for God to open doors, because that's the only way. If God didn't open a door, we weren't going to open. Because we'd been fingerprinted 25 times, it felt like. And one Wednesday night, we're sitting there, and we're getting ready for church, and we're getting ready to go do our classes. We were youth pastors at the time, and we're sitting there, and this Wednesday Child come on, and there's three little sibling girls. And they're the most beautiful little girls you've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you what, my heart jumped. My wife's heart jumped. We looked at each other, and Brother Eddie, we began to pray right then and there. We took hands. We joined hands and prayed right then, because we felt like that tears rolling down our eyes. The Spirit of God jumped on our couch with us, and we knew that the Lord was putting something in our heart. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with defects. I'm going to call this number right here they got, and I'm going to talk to somebody from there, because that's God's will. God, I know God told me to call. I know today God told me to call. I know as much now as I did then that the Spirit of God told me to call that number about that three sibling little girl group, that we could adopt them and bring them into our house and give them a loving home. And I called. And they said, well, we got to get you connected to the regional. It's not really a local thing. We have to, it's all this. So I said, whatever the process may be, do whatever needs to be done. I want to go through the process, because I know. And I told that lady, I said, I don't know if you're a Christian, a born again Christian. I know the Lord has put this on my heart. I know He did. And we called, and they called. This lady called me back, and I remember her. And she said, she took our information. She looked it over, and she said, and she called me back. And she said, Mr. Spray, I just don't think this is what you need. I said, well, I, with all due respect, I don't really care what you think, because I know what God spoke to me. And she said this. She said, I understand what you're saying, because I'm a born-again Christian too, and I know the Lord speaks to us. She said, but I'm just telling you, I don't feel that this is right. I said, this is the path we're going down, because this is the path that God spoke to me about. There's an open door, and I'm going in it. And she said, wait a minute. She said, give me a couple of days and let me call you back. So I waited, and I'm thinking, we've been waiting for like 9 years now. What's the difference? And she called me back, and she said, let me give you one option before you go down this path. And I know that I know. How many know you know when God speaks to you? You know when God tells you this is the path you should take. This is the way you should go. This is what you should do. And I know that with everything in my fiber, everything in my being, everything in my spirit, that's what God had told us to do. And she said, I've got this one little girl. She was born in Cleveland, Tennessee. She went to Dalton, Georgia. And now she's down in off Moreland Avenue in downtown Atlanta. She said, I'll send you her file. I said, you can send it, but we know what God spoke to us. She said, let's just take a chance before we move in. And she said, if it don't feel right, then we'll move to the direction that you feel like God is calling you to go to. I said, okay, send it on now. We looked at that voter. We looked at everything about her. We didn't get any warm tickle funnies, fuzzies, you know. We said, whatever. And she called and she said, I said, well, we're just looking it over. She said, would you want to meet her? I said, I don't really know if there's any use, because I know where God is sending me. And anybody like that, you know that God has told you and you are directly going that way. Amen. And most of the time, that's a great idea. She said, well, we're going to go to Atlanta. We're going to go down here downtown, and the foster parent mother's going to meet with us over here. So we drove downtown Atlanta. We went to a tennis court complex, and it was cold. And these people out here hitting little green fuzzy balls, man, they're crazy. And we're out there, and we're sitting in her SUV. I'm in the front seat with the DFACS worker, and my wife's in the back seat. And we're talking, and she's trying to convince us that I know what you feel, because we're still talking about these three little girls. And she said, just give it a chance. And then pulls this little silver car. And I could see, she said, she's here. Looked over and behind. I looked beyond the defects worker over. I could see the foster mother. And all of a sudden, I seen this little forehead in the back seat. She's just looking. My wife looks at me, and I look at her, and I could tell by her face her heart's beating just as fast as mine is because something just happened. The lady foster mother gets out of the car. She brings the little four-year-old girl with her. She says, the little girl is buried under the shoulder or up under the underarm of that foster mother. She won't talk. She won't look. She won't say anything. We're trying to talk to her. And I look at my wife in the back seat, and she's trying, and she's not saying anything. I look at the little girl. I say, hey, how are you doing? She, and I turned, and I looked towards heaven. I said, God, I'm so confused. Because right now, my heart's with this little girl right here. But I know you called me or gave me the instructions to call about those three little girls. And as I'm praying, God, show me a sign. I need a word. And all of a sudden, I felt this presence come up beside me, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost. And I look over, and she's right there. And I said, hello. She said, what's your name? I said, Jason. Okay. She leans back. She's sitting on the console of the car. She leans back up. Can I sit in your lap? I said, you have to ask her. I mean, I don't know what I can do and not do here. She looks at me. She said, it's okay. I pull her over into my lap. Dora the Explorer. Anybody remember Dora? That she looked just like Dora the Explorer. Don't you? Don't tell her I said that. She looked like Dora. And she looked at me. And this is where I get choked up. She said, Dason, I know you my daddy. And the defects lady looked at me. She said, I'm not supposed to do this, but if you won't tell nobody, I won't either. She said, y'all can take her for the day. We took her for the day. We're driving around downtown Atlanta with a four-year-old trying to tell us how to get to McDonald's. And my wife said, she said, turn left. I said, she's 4 years old. We wound up in Douglasville playing in the playground. We took her back. The next weekend, she comes to stay with us. And the next weekend, within a month, she's in our house. What am I saying about that? She's 20 years old. She has my granddaughter living in Carrollton. She's married. She's my daughter. And what does all that mean, preacher? Here's another side note. Your miracle might not come the way you think it comes. God may take you down an alley and a wall and a way and then say, no, I just had to see if you had enough faith to go. But I'm going to take it this way. God is the God of the impossible. And He can do exceedingly abundant above all that we can hope, think, or even ask. I come to tell somebody tonight, there is no impossible situations in this house because we serve a God that's got all possibilities. We got to believe for it. We got to hang on for it. We got to walk in it when He opens. But know that He might send you down this path, but He might take you by detour. The three little girls, I pray they get a good home. I don't know where they are, but I know God told me to go there. But He had something different in store. If I can ask you all to stand up with me. I know we've prayed this earlier for a miracle, and I believe God's bringing a miracle. Amen? I believe with all my heart. But I want to tell somebody in this place tonight, if it looks impossible, look to Jesus. If it looks like it can't happen, go to the one that can make it happen. If it looks like it can't go that way, go to the one that can make a way where there is no way. Amen. God has done a great work in my life. You've come too late to tell me He's not able. Come too far. Man, I've lost too many limbs for you to tell me He's not able. God is able. And I want to pray for somebody tonight who says, you know what, I'm facing a situation and a circumstance that if God doesn't move, it won't happen. Because I want to tell you, God is able. Lord, I pray before this altar's open, before anybody comes to play anything, before anybody comes to sing anything, God, I pray that we be real with ourselves and we be real with you. Lord, I pray for the power of God just to continue to touch in this house and move in this place. Let the Spirit of God move and stir in us. God, I know that we are sitting here, standing here today saying, God, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen. But Lord, I know you can do it. I know you're able. And Lord, when we call this altar call, I pray that they bring their impossible situation to this place, to this altar, and we lay it here, and we put it in the hands of an able, capable God. And we'll give you the praise, and we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I guess we need some musicians to come, if they will, amen. And these altars are open. Whatever you have a need of tonight, whatever it may be, I want you to come, and I want to pray with you and agree with you that God is able to move. Amen.
Jesus.
the mention of your name. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Like fire in winter cold, like pure, precious gold. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Like fire in winter cold, like pure precious gold. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Fire in winter cold, like pure precious gold. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Jesus, just the mention of your name.
At his coming, well, I'll be going.
redemption is drawing nigh. He's my comfort when I'm weary. He's my shelter from the storm. He's my armor when in battle. In the cold, he keeps me warm.
Praise in the house. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. Nothing. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, nothing.
Nothing.
Is impossible.
Impossible.
My God.
Hallelujah.
How many in this house would be honest and raise your hand and say, you know what? I've got lost loved ones. It seems impossible to come to the Lord. How many would say, I've witnessed nicely. I've preached hard. That'd be me. But nothing I do will get them to the house of God, and nothing I say seems like it ever affects them and touches them. How many would say that's I know? How many would join me in this altar tonight? Not represent yourself, but represent that lost loved one. Can I tell you, everything we do is to see somebody get saved. Everything we should do is to see somebody give their life to the Lord. If we're not about that, we shouldn't be about anything. How many would come up here tonight and say, I'm going to stand in for my son, my daughter, my grandchild, my wife, my husband, my brother, sister, whatever it may be. Say, I'm going to stand in on behalf of them. I'm not standing here for me. I'm not asking for God to heal me. I'm not asking for God to do anything in my life and bring me financial blessings or anything else. But I'm standing in for the lost. I preached last night at a church, and I don't know, some of you may know where Arrogant is. Afterwards, we began to talk, and some of the men there, and we began to just conversate as we ate a little meal. We all got to talking about how close we all believe we are to the coming of the Lord. The signs and the different things, and I believe that. I believe that. I'm going to work until He comes. Amen? I'm going to work until He comes. But I do believe that we could be raptured before we leave this service. And I'm fine with that, man. I'm good. I remember my old saints of God used to talk about the coming of the Lord when I was younger. I was like, why in the world are they so obsessed with that? Man, I got money to make and things to do, you know. But the older I get, the more I understand why they were obsessed with it, because now I am. I'm not old. Don't look at me like that. But I want you to join hands with somebody if you feel comfortable. The Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. The greatest thing I can do is bear the burden of your lost loved one with you. And the greatest thing you can do for me is bear the burden of the loss for me. And I want you to go to war tonight for your family and the family of the people with you. Because God is still the God of the impossible.
Yes, hallelujah.
Lord, we come together tonight. We join hands. God, we pray for our lost loved ones. We're praying for sons and daughters and We're praying for mothers and fathers. We're praying for nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters. God, we're praying for neighbors across the street. We're praying for everybody we can think of, Lord. Lord, we've witnessed and we've talked and we've shared the gospel with them. We've showed them love, God. We've showed them the errors of their way. But God, it just seems impossible that they are coming to the Lord. But I come tonight to say that God is a God of the impossible situation. I pray right now, break down every wall, Lord, that has hindered them coming to you. God, I pray you break down every barrier, God. I pray you touch their hearts and touch their minds, God, and move in their situation right now, God. Praying for the lost to be saved, Lord. I pray for the power of God to go where they are. God, I don't care if they're in the drug house. Touch them where they are. I don't care if they're in the bar. Touch them where they are. God, I don't care where they are. Move to where they are and touch them right now. Right now, God, touch them. Convict them. Change their heart, Lord. Change their mind. Do a work in their life right now, Lord. Lord, we stand right here at the altar when they won't come and they're not here, but we're standing in on their behalf. Lord, I'm reminded that Abraham stood in for Lot and interceded for Lot. Lord, we're standing in intercessor prayer. We're interceding for our family. We're interceding for our loved ones. We're interceding for those that seems impossible for them to get saved. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. And tonight we plead the blood of Jesus over them. We pray the prayer of faith over them. We're asking you to touch them and move in their life. Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. We praise your name, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. Glorify the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Give the Lord praise again in the house tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jason, for such an urgent, timely message. Amen. Have you been blessed tonight? I said, have you been blessed? Amen. God is so gracious and good. As one old fellow said, all of this in heaven too. Amen. How gracious our God is. If this is just a little indication of what the next fellowship meeting is going to be, I want to be here. Amen. I want to be a part of it. Amen. If you love Jesus with all your heart, one more hand clap of praise for him. Thank you again to everyone that came tonight. We love you. Hope and pray that you have a glorious and wonderful week. And as we prayed for the lost at the altar, why don't we pray for them every day this week? Every day this week. Amen. You know, you can take this same spirit with you. Amen. All hearts and minds clear? Well, after this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Feel free to fellowship and love one another. Amen. Like I said earlier, if you love these folks tonight, you're going to love heaven. Amen. Because we're going to be able to just fellowship forever and ever and ever. Brother Jason was talking about when he was young. I am old. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Jesus came tonight. Now, that might not suit well with some folks, but once you get up in age, you know, there's more to go to heaven for. Amen. Got more folks on that side than I do on this side. And I long to see them. But most of all, I want to see Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Can you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, Lord, you've blessed us tonight with such a wonderful spirit, an anointed message. Thank you for the man of God who stood and brought it tonight. Father, help us to take it to heart. God, help us to know undoubtedly that nothing is impossible with you to those who believe. Help us to believe. Lord, help our faith. God, we thank you for the miracles you've wrought tonight. God, for the blessings and the deliverance and the victories. Father, we pray now that your guiding hand would lead us, Lord. Keep us safe from all harm and danger till we meet again, until you call us home. We ask these blessings in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Fellowship. Love one another.